This is a Willets Point Shea Stadium bound 7 express train. The next and last stop is Willets Point Shea Stadium.
Yes, it is the Subway to Shea podcast. Anthony Rivera here with you talking about all the news and happening surrounding that team from Queens, the New York Mets. Episode 131 from the Subway to Shea studios in my office. Kind of an emergency episode. We did one earlier on this week, but some big news happened and we have to talk about it. And first off, thank you to my guest who's joining me from Port St. Lucie. He was there when the news broke on Kodai Senga, and I'm so glad that he's taking some time off his busy day to come on here. Very last minute, but Andrew Tredinick is here. Andrew is the Mets beat reporter for NorthJersey.com and The Record Sports. Andrew, welcome to the Subway to Shea podcast, my friend. How you doing?
Pretty well. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Let's get right into it, man. The news broke early in the morning that Mets president of baseball operations, David Stearns, was going to address the media to discuss Kodai Senga's status, which was initially arm fatigue. And as soon as you hear that the president of baseball operations is setting up a meeting, you got to have a little bit of concern. And, you know, when you hear this, automatically the Met fans, you think the worst. You start jumping into the car, setting your GPS to Panic City. If fans remember that place, we're quite often there. But I have been so used to starting the spring off like this, whether it was Verlander last year, DeGrom in years past. You can even go all the way back to Zach Wheeler when he got his Tommy John surgery in the spring. So I'm like kind of numb to most of these injuries at this point in time now. But Kodai Senga, after Stearns addressed the media, Kodai Senga has a moderate shoulder strain, a technical term, a right posterior capsule strain. He's shut down until the symptoms subside and strength returns to his arm. We'll start the season on the injured list. The length is unknown. Now, I said on Twitter, slash X, whatever you want to call it, that whatever the length is of him being out, you can add another month to that because now he will need an extended spring training just to get ready, right? That's probably the route that they're going to be taking.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like, you know, once it's shown that it's healed a little bit, that they're going to have to, you know, proceed and go right back to spring training mode, you know, ramp him up. Obviously, he's only been throwing for about 2 weeks now. So, you know, kind of starting at square one once they determine that he can, you know, that the healing and the strain has gone down. So we'll see what happens.
Now, Andrew, we don't know how long Kodai is going to be out for, but have you seen any examples or comparisons to other pitchers that we can kind of make like an educated guess or gauge how long that this could possibly take?
Nothing that I've actually seen. You know, when you hear right posterior capsule, that was something that I had actually never heard before. You know, actually, it's funny. In texting, I've, you know, a source in the medical field. It's something that he says, you know, how long was he throwing with this type of strain? That's something that, you know, interesting to me. You know, how much damage did he do? So it'll be curious to see just how long it takes, you know, for that injury to heal. It's something that kind of, you know, the joint kind of holds the shoulder joint in place. So it's critical that that's completely healed before he goes back at it. You don't want any more inflammation. So, you know, we'll see what happens as far as just the timeline. Obviously, the Mets didn't provide one today. I'm sure, you know, in the coming days, it's something that might reveal itself, just, you know, that estimation of how long they anticipate him being out for.
And I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of Mets fans were like, you know, we've only been throwing for a couple of days. How could he already have a strain? Like how much harder was he throwing during the spring? Or can this date back to even last season? Because he really started ramping it up. You know, once they traded Scherzer and Verlander, we were getting the best of Senga and he was pitching closely to almost every fifth day. So who knows if that had an effect on him, but we now know that he will be out to start the season. The best news to come out of all of this is that he won't need surgery. And Stearns was adamant that he is still going to pitch a lot of games for the Mets this season. I know Abby Mastrico of the Daily News said that he experienced similar discomfort when he pitched in Japan. And Kodai said during the presser, he could still pitch and throw hard, but he wouldn't be able to do it at a high level. So that's when he went to the training staff. And now this is all, you know, taken care of. Right away, there were thoughts of if the Mets will now go after a Blake Snell or to Jordan Montgomery, to which, you know, David Stearns quickly shut that down. We'll get into the internal options shortly. But do you think they are really out on these pitchers, or is Stearns just kind of keeping his, you know, cards close to the vest? And because, you know, we know it's Scott Boras, and he'll have all the leverage now against the Mets.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, obviously just how far that number comes down. Obviously, Snell was, you know, seeking, a long-term deal, close to 9 years. I know that's something the Mets, obviously, you know, with their situation, what they've been trying to do with the payroll, doesn't really fit into what their logic, I guess, if you will. But how far, you know, has that number drifted down? It does seem like, obviously, Stearns mentioned during the media availability, those three options, Joey Lucchese, Tyler McGill, Jose Buto, they're going to get the first crack here, and we'll see, you know, just what happens. It doesn't seem like, given what their mission is with the payroll, that they're going to go above and beyond to sign one of those ace caliber pitchers, being it Snell or Montgomery.
You know, I have to commend Stearns. You know, fans may not like it, but he has a plan in place and he's pretty much sticking to it. Hell or high water, he has not deviated from it at all, whether it comes to the bullpen or it goes with the starting pitching, even, you know, the current roster and, the hitters. He has not changed anything in his direction. Stearns talked a lot about his young and internal options and giving them a chance and the chance to be evaluated, because, you know, we do have depth. We have depth in the pitching staff. And let's start off with the prospects, Mike Vassell, Christian Scott, and Dominic Hamill, who, you know, Stearns prefers to pitch in the minor leagues more before they come up. Even with Stearns saying this, do you think there's an outside chance one could crack this roster? Or even, you know, if they do have a stellar spring, it's just we know that they're going to be sent down.
I think it's probably similar to a case of Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos last year, where, you know, they want those guys to get regular reps, you know, at AAA. Obviously, you mentioned Dominic Hamill and Christian Scott, two guys that haven't pitched even at the AAA level yet. So, I spoke with Vassell, I believe it was actually yesterday. He was a guy that, you know, transitioned to AAA last year, had some struggles. The ABS, the automatic balls and strike system, comes into play. Have to be fine-tuned. Maybe he's one of those that maybe he could progress maybe quicker than those other guys. I'll be interested to see, you know, how they perform in the spring, whether that lends itself to one of them kind of rising to the top. But as of right now, it appears that they're going to go with one of the more proven options, but maybe this expedites them, you know, a few months into the season, whereas maybe you were priming for a second half call up. We'll see what happens with the shape of the rotation here early in the spring.
All right. Once again, I'm here with Andrew Tranik, New York Mets beat reporter for NorthJersey.com, The Record Sports. Follow him on Twitter/X at Andrew_Tred. He's down in Port St. Lucie with the club as they get ready for their first game of spring training Saturday against the Cardinals. Now, you wrote an article, which I will attach the link in this description of this episode, discussing possible replacements for Kodai in the rotation. It's you know, the usual suspects. You mentioned them earlier from AAA. We got Tyler McGill, who last season 9-8 with a 4.70 ERA, 105 strikeouts. To note also, and this was written down by Tim Ryder of The Apple, his final six starts, 2.55 ERA. That's something to look into as he kind of turned a corner during the season. Joey Lucchese, 4-0, 2.89 ERA. Had the best start of the year, I think, out of all the pitchers in San Francisco. A nice little shutout that he threw out there. And then Jose Budo, 1-2, 3.29 ERA and 27 in a third innings pitch. Let us know who you have from this group taking over for Kodai Senga to round out the rotation. And then if you can, how would you rank these crop of pitchers depth-wise? And you could throw in David Peterson in as well, and I know he's not going to come back through midseason, but how would you rank them?
All right, so right now I think the inside track goes to Tyler McGill. Obviously, last season was a little bit rough, you know, to start. His velocity was down early in the season. You know, once he struggled, his ERA ballooned. I think it was near six, you know, was sent back down to AAA. Use that opportunity to kind of fine tune his mechanics. And then you saw, you know, he took that opportunity and, you know, really made the most of it. You saw his velo return a little bit in the second half. So, you know, he started to sprinkle in that American spork, and that's something that he does plan to continue to throw and work on through the spring. You know, his second half performance kind of showed, you know, he took that lesson and ran with it. So I would think he has the inside track on that fifth spot right now, but it does appear to be an open competition. Obviously, last year you saw what David Peterson was able to do in the spring. You know, obviously, just the quality start after quality start, and then, you know, he jumps in there in that fifth spot. So I think it is an open competition. I'll be curious to see. Jose Budo was, you know, a guy in September who threw six quality starts. I was really impressed with him down the stretch. Obviously, he's a young guy, the youngest of the bunch at 25. I'll be interested to see, you know, just how many steps he takes this spring and can take another step forward and you know, his, you know, add to his name, I guess, if you will, as one of those options.
Yeah, that little stretch for those three pitchers, McGill, Budo, and Peterson, and you could throw in Lucchesi when he got the opportunity, but that little September stretch, I thought they pitched very well and almost in the second half got this team to play 500. And you're talking about a team with Aruiz in the lineup and just like trading everyone away. So it was a good, I guess, test for them. And now we get to see if they can take it to the next level. It's funny, Tyler McGill would come full circle here because, like you mentioned, he'd been tweaking his mechanics and learned that splitter from Kodai, the American spork. You know, any thoughts on the change McGill has made and how Hefner and the coaching staff has been reacting to it?
You know, obviously 2 years ago in 2022, he was a guy, you know, his opening day start, I remember, you know, he touched close to 100 miles per hour and it was kind of eye-opening. And then down the stretch, you saw a guy that was kind of laboring through some injuries, you know, I think it was a shoulder injury, if I remember correctly. And obviously last year he comes in, he's trying to preserve, you know, his body for the full, you know, full season. His velocity dips, and then obviously he has to be sent down. So it'd be curious to see just, you know, the transition, how those lessons that he learned last season can kind of translate into this season, and obviously keying in that splitter, giving him another wrinkle. He was kind of like a three pitch pitcher. You know, if he can add that to his arsenal, give a different look to hitters, I think that could stand to his benefit.
It's interesting with Tyler because he has been put in this position every season since 2021. Every time the Mets needed a pitcher, he'd come up through injury. And, you know, even in 2021, where I think that's where his mechanics really got messed up because he wasn't really supposed to be pitching that many games. And they really needed him in the rotation to pitch. And I think that's where it kind of got a little bit messed up for him. But, you know, we saw a lot of improvement like we talked about in the second half of this season. And you can only hope with this new American spork that it could add to his repertoire and make him a, you know, solid fifth starter, which I think he could be. I really do. And, you know, you're talking about a guy with a 4.70 ERA. And that's what you typically get from a fifth starter. So we'll see what happens with these guys going forward. And I know it's a way too early for this, and obviously we have a whole spring camp ahead of us, but we can assume if all stays healthy from here forward that, you know, Jose Quintana would be lined up for opening day at Citi Field.
I think he's that guy. He's been here. You know, obviously he proved down the stretch. I mean, he's been a durable force. Last year was kind of the one rare blip from him. You know, I think he has earned it as, you know, as one of the returning members of the rotation. So yeah, I think we'll see, you know, if he can, he's another key to the, there are a lot of the guys have question marks in the rotation, but you know, he was, you know, counted upon time and time again, you know, through his multiple stops in his career to put up 30 starts, and he can do that. You know, I think he could be, obviously he's not the number one starter, but he can be a top end, you know, rotation piece for them.
Yeah, with Quintana, who, you know, came in during that second half and really pitched quality start after quality start, giving up three runs or less in most of his starts. He definitely seems like the guy, the right guy to anchor the rotation while Kodai Senga is out. Because we have, you know, a couple of ifs in Luis Severino, Sean Manaea, and then I think a bit more of an anchor piece in Adrian Hauser. I think he's more of a, you know, a consistent pitcher along the lines of a Quintana. Now, before I let you go, I wanted your thoughts on the report that came out this week. Hector Gomez tweeted it out, you know, claiming sources that said Francisco Alvarez was close to signing a contract extension. Now, those reports were refuted by Andy Martino and Will Salmon. Even Alvarez said it during a press conference. He hadn't heard anything. You know, we keep getting sprinkled with this topic this offseason. So in your eyes, do you see an extension for Francisco Alvarez coming before the season starts, during the season, or, you know, possibly next year? You know, what will you hedge your bets on for that?
I wouldn't say it would happen before the season. Obviously, with, you know, where they are payroll wise, you know, that counts against them. You know, obviously, I think they want him to kind of prove himself a little bit. You know, obviously, last season, the big power numbers, low average, proved himself defensively, but there's still some areas where, admittedly, he would say he wants to improve upon, you know, whether it's, you know, just his pop time and stuff like that. So I don't know about this season. It'll be interesting to see maybe down the line. I don't anticipate anything before the season, but it is a guy, you know, he can be a cornerstone piece for this team. You know, he proved it last year in his rookie year, you know, playing as many games as he did. And I think they understand that he could be, you know, a cornerstone guy for them and would be interested in, you know, locking him up long term. As far as the timeline, it's to be seen, but I think he'll probably play out the majority of the season before we broach that topic again.
And you mentioned cornerstone, and I, you know, I always go back to, you know, Pete Alonso, and my concern with giving Francisco Alvarez a contract extension before you even deal with Pete Alonso. And like you said, even before Alvarez really, you know, this is only his second season. You know, it could be a sophomore slump. We don't know. We really don't know. But is there any concern with, you know, dealing with you know, Alvarez and then having to do with the Alonso? Because, you know, I was still holding out hope that there would be a contract extension before this year's over, before this season begins for Pete Alonso. I really don't want him making it to free agency, if I could be honest with you, but I feel like that's the route we're going in. But one won't affect the other, right?
Well, I would think not, but I mean, the perception, if you're, you know, offering Alvarez and not Pete, I mean, that, you know, that resonates with players. So, you know, I would imagine that lock up, you know, Pete, and then kind of deal with those, some of those younger players. Obviously Alonso returning, that homegrown guy, being kind of the priority, and, you know, Stearns and Cohen, both lifelong Mets fans, have continued to say that. So,
well, Andrew, I can't thank you enough for joining me on such short notice. I know you're busy down there. Let everyone know again how they can interact with you on social media and plug anything that you're working on.
Just make sure to follow me on Twitter, X, at Andrew_Tread. And you can find all my articles on NorthJersey.com, part of the USA Today network. So I appreciate you taking the time.
Andrew, enjoy the rest of your time out there, Port St. Lucie, and let's link up again, whether it's, you know, later on in the spring or maybe sometime down the road during the season.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Should be a fun, eventful spring, as it always is.
Always. Yeah. There's never a dull moment in Mets world. Thank you so much, man. You take care.
You got it.
All right. That was Andrew Trednick, New York Mets beat reporter for NorthJersey.com and The Record Sports. Follow him on Twitter/X, like he said, at Andrew_Tred. And before we wrap up here, huge week for the Subway to Shea podcast. 4, now 5 shows this week. So shout out to Jeffrey Ballone of MetFix, who was on the show last episode. Hector Beauchamp of Yankees Morning Brew and Morning Brew Sports Network, who joined me for the 2024 New York Baseball Spring Preview. Tyler Ward, aka Wardy NYM, who I joined his stream to break down the latest rumors on Francisco Alvarez's contract extension. You can hear us talking more about that on his episode. Mets Trucker Podcast for including me in the Mets Roundtable, the Latin Hour that we did a couple nights ago, alongside himself, Amish Country Mets fan, and Shay and Sons Podcast. Now, all the links for this show can be found on the description of this episode, and you know that will pretty much wrap it up here for the Subway to Shea podcast. Follow on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Subway to Shea. Listen to the Subway to Shea podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and watch on YouTube. Hit that subscribe follow button to turn on your notifications and never miss an episode of Subway to Shea. And rate the show, leave comments, and if on YouTube, give a thumbs up. It really helps my content get out there and notice for all to see. I would really appreciate all of your support. Now, with that said, thank you for tuning in. This podcast is yours as much as it is mine, and you continue to be a major part of the success of the Subway to Shea brand, and I appreciate every one of you. So for Anthony Rivera, this is the Subway to Shea podcast. Always remember, let's go Mets.